Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to this sermon today, which I'm going to be preaching at church this morning. And we're going to be continuing the theme that we've been looking at over the last few weeks, which is the parables of Jesus. And we've seen in these parables how he takes one thing and he puts it alongside another, and he says, this is a bit like this. So last week we looked at the parable of the unforgiving servant, and Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a master who wanted to settle accounts with his workers. And today we're looking at another parable in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, where a master comes to settle accounts with his servants again. And this is actually a continuing theme in Jesus's parable. So the master, who we understand to be Jesus, is returning to see how his workers have got on with the things that he's entrusted to them. And so this is again a common theme that we see in Jesus's teaching, the teaching that will one day see Jesus return as judge. I can remember a conference a couple of years ago before the pandemic that one of the speakers said, you don't hear many sermons about the second coming of Jesus today. And I thought to myself, well, perhaps I haven't specifically preached a sermon on the topic of Jesus coming again recently, but pretty much every sermon I preach, there is an allusion towards his return because it crops up so much in scripture. It's just there in black and white. And Jesus's parables in particular are a place where you will find Jesus's return referenced. And here in Matthew 25 is no different as we look at the parable of the talents. And as we look at the talents today, there are three points that I'm going to consider as we look at it. The first is the gift, because the master gives his servants the gift of five talents to one, two talents to another, and one talent to a third person. Secondly, we're looking at guard, because the first thing that the master wants the servants to do with those bags of gold is to guard them and to think of them as their own. And thirdly, we're going to look at the word grow, because not only are they expected to guard them, to be good stewards of them, but they are to grow what they've been given. So we've got gift, guard, and grow. Let's begin with gift then. We know clearly from the Bible that God is a giver. In fact, this is what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God is so gracious that Paul in his letter to the Romans simply states, how is God not going to give us all things? Because he's already shown us ultimate grace in Jesus. God is a giver. And if we look around today, I'm sure we can see things that God has given to us. The first and most obvious gift, of course, is the gift of life that we have. There's a common phrase around at the moment. In fact, it's been around for a long time, really. Live every day as if it was your last, or make the most of every day, or live for today. And basically it's saying, you know, make the most of what you've got, revel in it, revel in what you've been given, be grateful for it. And we've been given these things to enjoy, rather than thinking of all the things that we don't have. Now this parable of the talents, in a way, could be a parable for the whole of life. Because what we see in life is that some people have more than others, some people have less than others, and some people are in the middle with the things that they have. And also we know that some people in the world who have huge responsibility, like we might think of the President of the United States and the huge responsibility he exercised recently by deciding to take the troops out of Afghanistan. And then there are some in the world who kind of have a middle level of responsibility. And then there are some people who, in comparison, have a relatively low level of responsibility. But each person, whether their responsibility is at the lower end or the higher end, needs to take on that responsibility and do something with it. We ought to see everything that we have in this life as a gift from God. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 talks about how each of us has been given gifts in the body of Christ. Some will be teachers, some will be pastors, some will be encouragers. Some will be good with hospitality. And that within the body of Christ, we're to use our gifts to build one another up. There are so many things that we could see as paralleling the five bags of gold, the two bags of gold, the one bag of gold in this passage. But ultimately, we know that God is the giver of those things. So let's think about guard as the second point then. You see, when God gives us something, we need to understand it as borrowing something from God. God created the whole world, and his stamp is on creation before the stamp of human beings. So although we might think of saying about things such as, I own my house or I own my car, whatever it might be, actually the resources used to make your car or the area of land which your house is situated on was created by God and owned by God first and foremost. And he lets us live here as a gift, but he calls us to make the most of the gift that we've been given so that we become good stewards. Not only has he given us something, but he's asked us to guard it, to think of it as our own, but to do it for him. There are lots of things that we could do with what God gives us that would not bring glory to God. For example, you might have a house or a place where you can welcome people to, but if you're the most unhospitable person you can ever imagine, so that you won't even let someone walk past your house without frowning at them, then you're not really making the most of what you've been gifted. Likewise, if you have a gift of being good with people, how would you make the most of that to bring glory to God? If you've got a gift of strength, how will you make the most of that for the glory of God? Putting chairs and tables away after church events or after another event for another organisation or family event, or something that you might be able to use that gift for. Because through your generous heart, you're ultimately showing God's generous heart. We're called to guard what God has given to us. And thirdly, we're to grow what he's given to us. We're called to grow. So in this parable, we see three people entrusted with three different sizes of gift. The five bags, the two bags, and the one bag. Now, many people in the past have misunderstood this parable, because they think, well, the one with the least, surely he's the poor person, and I thought Jesus was often siding with the poor. So why is it that this poor person who only had the one talent and who didn't generate anything is told, now the little that you did have will be taken from you and given to the one with 10 talents? But the way we need to think about this is actually that this person was given the least responsibility. And it seems from this passage that although he's concerned about the master's attitude, it seems that even though the master was the way he was, that he didn't really expect a huge amount from the worker. In fact, it seems as you read the passage through that he only expected something minimal, because he seems to suggest that if the worker had simply put the money into the bank, in other words, asked someone else to look after it for him, then that would have been enough, because the master would have been able to collect the interest on that one talent. But the very fact that he simply ignored the responsibility altogether and did nothing with it shows that he's not fit to be given greater responsibility. And he's thrown outside where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, on the other hand, what the other two workers have done is that they've taken the gift they've been given, they've guarded the gift, they've grown the gift by not being lazy. And they have done far more than the minimal, because both of them have doubled the size of the gift that they were given. And this is what God calls us to do. God will give us responsibility, and it may be that we're not able to do a great amount with it in our thinking, but we can be that person who, at the very least, puts it in the bank to get a little interest. But the point is that we're serious about the things that God gives us so that we can allow those things to grow. And if you're the person in the middle, we notice in this parable that the person with the two talents wasn't annoyed because someone had been given more than him, or even someone had been given less than him. So he thinks, oh, I wish I had a little less responsibility like the person with the one talent. But he simply got on with the responsibility that he'd been given, and through his faithfulness grew even more to show his master on his master's return. The person who'd been given the greatest responsibility of all to look after the 5 bags of gold likewise showed himself to be worthy of that responsibility by creating 10 from the 5 that he'd been given. How might we apply these things to our lives today? Well, I suppose the first thing we have to do is to think very carefully about the gifts that God has given us. It might be that you sit down sometime later today or during the week, get out a notepad and a pen and write down the gifts that God has given you. Secondly, we need to remember that we're guardians over those gifts. He's called us to be a guardian, to be a steward over the things that he's given to us. In other words, we need to take responsibility for those things and not simply bury them in the ground and be afraid to use them. Because God gave us those things so that we would grow and that we would then be able to go on to even greater things for him. God is gentle. You only need to create a little interest with what he's given. But we're to be guardians of those things. And so ultimately, when Jesus returns, we'll be able to present them to him and say, Lord, look what I've done in your name with what you've given me. And great is your reward in heaven. Thirdly, to grow. Growing is about taking on the responsibility and then doing that responsibility. And I've often found that when I've trusted God in a small way, he's grown me in that. And then I've gone on to take on even more responsibility. It's a bit like what happens to you in the Christian life. Someone says one day, when I'm 11 years old at church, oh, would you mind reading this into the microphone? Then at 14, would you mind doing this little activity or a little talk? And then suddenly you find yourself leading the youth group Bible study, leading the adults in Bible study. Then you find yourself at college and training for ministry. And then you're a minister. But through all of that, I did grow so much closer to God. And this is what God calls us in whatever gifts he's given us. It's worth stating that, you know, it might not be that you're called to be a pastor, but we all have gifts in some area. And ultimately in this passage, Jesus is saying that whatever gifts you've been given, there's a responsibility to recognise that God has given you them for his glory, so that you're a guardian over that gift and you then go on to grow it by taking on the responsibility of using those gifts for Jesus. And ultimately he will bless you for it. And you don't need to be afraid if you see someone producing more than you. The fact is that he calls you to produce something so that when he returns you can say, Lord, this is for you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a giver of gifts and that every good gift comes from you. We thank you for the gifts you've given us in our own particular life. Lord, help us to guard those things, to take responsibility for them and to use them, whatever they might be, so that one day we'll be able to offer them back to you and to say, thank you, Lord, for growing me, for giving me responsibility, and here is my gift back to you. Lord, we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.